sports story breaks, and all you can think all day is, I wonder what Bob has to say about this. This is Bob, the answer to everything you want to know in the world, McCowan, and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hour number two for this Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. It's the radio program on television. Bob McCown with Damian Cox in the Toronto studios. A little bit later on, Mike Sunix of the Phoenix Business Journal. Must be something going on if Mike's coming on. Josh Cassidy, Paralympic athlete, winner of the Boston Marathon. Glenn Healy, Coley Campbell, Brent Sutter, who will be the head coach of the Canadian Men's World Championship team, all coming up on the program. Mr. Cox, how are you?
I'm fine. Nice to have you back. We missed you.
I'd like to tell you it's nice to be back, but...
Oh, come on. I was just nice to you.
Not quite there yet.
Was I not just nice to you?
Well, it's not a reflection of you. Thank you very much. It's a complete reflection of not working is always better than working.
That's not true. What people don't know about you is, given your choice, you'd rather be here. You like to work, or you'd rather be working, doing stuff. So.
Well, I'd rather be doing stuff. I don't know about being here.
Your track record of being here suggests that you don't like to take a day off.
Haven't had one this year yet.
Yeah, see? And maybe that's
that's part of my problem.
Maybe that's... And I would imagine working with me and Brunt has got to be killing you. I mean, it's got to just be killing you.
Well, there's... You know, the life is full of stresses and some...
I mean, to face those kinds of intellects every day has got to be intimidating for a guy like you.
No, it's quite boring. And I'm forced to get my stimulation elsewhere. And so that's why I drink lots of tea. Much to the chagrin, I suppose, of my physician, who has told me to stop doing everything.
To stop.
just
stop what? Stop.
Everything. What about, no, can't do that. Nope. Okie dokie.
You need to take care of yourself.
So I stopped for 2 days. It did me no good. I still feel like crap.
Well, you might need to stop for longer than 2 days.
I can't.
Yeah.
Who's going to host the show?
Blair did a great job yesterday.
Well,
which was almost as good as the job I did on Monday, as ratings shot through the roof.
I'm sure they did.
I was shocked that you weren't here on Monday after getting the...
Careful.
What's the right
word? Not allowed to talk about this.
The loving treatment you received.
The fickle finger of fate.
And as Brent and I were discussing the other day, what's really incredible is that you've managed to make these achievements all on your own without any help from anyone else. It's really... I mean, congratulations for your ability to not need anybody else to reach this mountain. It's really quite something.
Well, and I think there's significant evidence to support that. I of course feel it's a little uncomfortable for me to...
Well, as your valet or one of your valets.
Yes. Well, there was you, then there was Brunt, then there was Waters, and there was this guy and
Hunt.
That guy, Jim Hunt, various people that I have managed to elevate over the course of my time.
Elevate's an interesting word.
And so, and I'm happy to do it. I want you to know. I'm happy to help you out, help Brunt out.
No, you're not. You're not happy about
Shannon
anything.
Out. No, I'm very happy to have been able to activate your career.
Is this discussion helping you feel better?
Well, Shannon is a former
we're all a former
producer.
Something.
Well, yeah. who couldn't produce anymore, so we gave him a job over here. And you used to be...
What am I, a former?
Well, you used to be a writer. and now you're a multimedia star. Brunt doesn't even write anymore. Well, he scribbles.
He'll be surprised to learn that.
Well, he scribbles a little bit in the online thing, and then occasionally in that magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But the Globe is now gone. Now he's a big TV star. You're both big TV stars.
No,
you just wander
Brunt's
in here,
a big star,
and then you wander down there and get all made up and put your fancy suit on and and people fawn all over.
Brent's
downstairs.
A big star on TV. You're a big star. I'm the equivalent of David Steckel in the pecking order here. I'm the David Steckel of Sportsnet. I just, you know, I pick up the pucks after practice. I just I'm a grunt.
Well, and that's okay. I mean, because you used to be the Rafi Torres of this place.
How many is he getting?
Oh, life. I would give him. Like,
I was chatting with Scott Morrison on the way over here. And
what's the biggest one so far this playoffs? Three or four?
One? No, it's four.
Four. So he gets four or five. Like, he'll get...
I think he might get more than that.
No.
I think he will. But
what is it? What is one playoff game equal in terms of regular season games? I've lost track of the pie. 3.14.
Okay, you're asking about nine different questions. First of all,
no, I asked one.
No, you didn't.
You just won't shut up and answer them.
Oh, you won't give me a chance. Tell me when you want me to answer.
Go ahead then, talk. I'll be quiet. I get paid the same either way.
First of all, the time to give Rafi.
I knew I shouldn't have come in.
See, here we go. First of all, the time to give Rafi Torres a big suspension was about three suspensions ago.
Yeah.
When you dick around.
Yeah.
And one game, two game, one, you know, the $2,500 fine,
yeah,
all that. Don't do it again. It's like your kids, right? If Johnny comes in and he, let's say, does whatever, won't clean up his room. And the first time he does it, they say, fine, no television for 6 months. Give me all your hockey equipment. You're not playing, and you can't talk to your friends anymore. Johnny cleans up his room.
You betcha.
Now, if you say, Johnny, clean up your room, and then he doesn't do it, and you go, Johnny, clean up your room. Johnny, I really mean it this time. Clean up that room another four or five times. Johnny, after a while, says, I don't think he's going to do anything.
I'm pretty much convinced he's not.
Yeah,
there's no evidence to support the theory that
no,
there's no repercussion or ramification for doing this. So,
well, I'm going to keep doing it. And what we're seeing in the playoffs, Rafi Torres does that. Advantage Phoenix, they don't care if Rafi Torres plays ever again.
Yeah,
they've got one of the other team's best players
out.
Same as that Carl Hagelin did with Daniel Alfredson, out.
Yep.
Same as Duncan Keith did with, and he's back playing. So that's part of it. Brian Lewis, the former NHL referee in chief, was on with us yesterday while you were golfing or whatever.
I was not golfing.
And, or you're stopping. Sorry, you're stopping everything.
I'm stopping everything.
He said he thinks they've got it backwards. We're sort of working on the idea is that it's about a 2-for-1, right? So four games in the regular season in the playoffs is two.
Okay.
That's sort of the model that's been working on. He thinks it should be the other way around. If the playoffs are so important, what's four games in the regular season, Brian Lewis figures, should be eight in the postseason because it matters more. And the other thing is in the postseason, they're not losing any money as they do during the regular season. So handing a guy a one-game suspension in the playoffs?
Especially.
Costs them $0.
Well, especially if the guy is
a predator.
Yeah, of minimal value to his team.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have there's a standing invitation for Gary Bettman to join us today on the program.
How's that turning out?
Well, no calls so far.
No. Gary's ducking these days.
It's a one day opportunity for him to actually stand up and show some cojones.
Well, he's kind of letting Brendan Shanahan take all the flack. Brendan Shanahan's getting it from me, from you, from players.
Well, I'm not giving it to
coaches.
Look,
here's everyone.
No, not from me. Don't lump me in that. Because as I said in the last hour, I have no idea what Brendan Shanahan's marching orders are. I have no idea.
That was the same thing. But that was the same thing we said about Coley Campbell.
True enough.
Yeah.
If I was Brendan Shanahan and I believed that I should be giving bigger suspensions. That's the answer. And I'm not being allowed to by GMs.
There's only one thing to do.
Quit.
Quit. Walk out the door.
Quit right
now.
Find
somebody else to carry your water.
And so as of this moment, Brendan, if you are being told to do something that you do not agree with, quit right now. If you're still at the job tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., you're responsible. It's as simple as that.
Yep. And I think Colin Campbell, when he held the job, was willing to say, no, I'm going to work under these. I'm comfortable with these marching orders. And he took a lot of flack for it. But I dare say, Bob, in his darkest days, I'm not sure Colin Campbell absorbed the kind of criticism from every corner that Brendan Shanahan. Teams aren't even afraid of Gary Bettman's fines. New York Rangers, Washington Capitals coming out with press releases. We have no idea what they're doing, and we disagree.
And they're right. Neither do I. I have no idea what they're doing.
No.
This league has turned into complete chaos. It is anarchy.
Anarchy.
It is anarchy.
Funny thing is...
And as long as the commissioner sits there and says nothing, we have nothing else. We have no other option but to assume that anarchy has now gripped this league.
No, we have nothing else to assume but that he wants it that way. The NHL, as you and I have talked about many times, if there's something they want out of the game, they can take it out of the game like that. They took hooking out of the game in a matter of weeks. They could take they could take all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Name the thing. They could take it out.
Yep.
They choose not to do those things. Therefore, we have to believe they want those things. They want Marian Hossa in the hospital.
So
they think the threat of that violence attracts people to the game. They believe that.
Here's the dilemma that I've thought a lot about. On one hand, we have the National Hockey League going in one direction, which is chaos, anarchy, lawlessness, Wild West. Everybody has a gun and will shoot for no particular reason.
Can I give you a quick analogy? A guy from the down in Carolina said, it's like if they let you throw as many beanballs as you wanted to in a baseball game. Just do whatever you want. Throw the guy's head every time.
Yeah, go ahead. So here we have the NHL, which has chaos. Over here we have minor hockey, where Hockey Canada is one of the governing bodies, the national governing body.
Biggest in the world.
Yeah, the national governing body, although in some cases they can be a toothless tiger too, because you know, they have recommendations, but they don't always trickle down.
Right.
You know, the leagues and groups underneath them don't have to do what they say.
Right.
So there's a dilemma. On one hand, there they are saying, this is crazy. Enough of this. We're going to clean it. We have to clean the game up. We have to show more respect for players, blah, 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 blah. And then you turn on your TV at 8 o'clock or 7:30 that night and you see what's going on. And the kids are watching. If I was a parent of a 5 or 6 year old and that kid came to me and said, Dad, I want to play hockey, I don't know what I would say. When my kids did it, I said, sure. I told my oldest son he couldn't play football in high school. I said, you're not playing football. You can play any other sport you want, but you can't play football. Today, I don't know if I'd let my kid play hockey. Not because I'm afraid at age 5 or 6 or even 8 or 10. And not because I'm concerned about Hockey Canada and where they're going, because I think they're going in the right direction. I think eventually they'll get where they want to be and where I want them to be. My problem is 5 and 6 and 8 and 10-year-old kids watch this stuff, and you know we are all the same. Monkey see, monkey do. And right now, hockey, you know how many, there are 600 and some odd thousand kids registered to play hockey in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as low as it's been in our lifetime.
Well, there's no question that the demographics have changed, and you do hear something that you didn't hear 10 years ago, which is, I'm not letting my kid play. You do hear that.
You do?
I don't hear it in huge numbers.
Right.
But I never heard it 10 years ago.
We never would have done it.
No.
It was never done, would never have been done to us.
We
were encouraged
to play.
Our kids
had to play.
Yeah.
It was their birthright.
Oh, yeah. We were encouraged to play. It was good for you to play. Yeah.
And now, so I hear that a little bit. I get emails. I don't want my kids playing. I know a fair number of parents who have kids in the GTHL, where my kid plays, who have pulled away from some of the stuff. Now, the GTHL has made some strides. and like they have clamped down on hits to the head. Like you can't even push a kid in the head now without getting
good
kicked out of the game half the time. So they're trying, and that's what I think you're talking about. Hockey Canada, minor hockey, they're all doing this. The NHL's making a beeline in the other direction.
Yep.
They've talked about hits to the head, Rule 48. They're allowing them. They've talked about getting rid of repeat offenders. They won't do anything.
They don't.
They talk about concussions. We had this debate, remember, on the roundtable 2 weeks ago, and I said, I think, oh, Elliot was sitting here, and he said, well, you know, they're doing, I says, what have they done?
They've done anything.
Mike Smith, the goaltender for the Phoenix Coyotes the other night, basically looked like he got knocked out.
Yeah.
They let him lay on the ice for a while, and then he got up, and then he just kept playing.
Yeah. They didn't take him off. Where's the quiet room?
Yeah. They're doing
doesn't exist.
Nothing. Nothing. So nothing on headshots, nothing on repeat offenders, nothing on concussions. They're doing nothing. Meanwhile, everybody else in the world of hockey is madly trying to solve all those problems, or at least trying. And they love the brawling. They think it attracts. Now, here's a question for you, because you're always way better on this than I am. Because you're hearing it all the time now. Yes, but ratings are up in the U.S., and to which I always say, compared to what?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, where? Up in Philadelphia? Sure.
I get that.
That's a big, are they up in Phoenix, Tampa, Florida, Nashville?
Doton, Alabama, Kansas City,
Columbus,
Houston, Texas, places where there aren't hockey? I don't think so.
No. No.
Look, I get if you are engaged in the sport. If you are a Philadelphia Flyer fan, even a casual Philadelphia Flyer fan, are you going to be engaged by what you've seen over the last 4 or 5 nights in the series with Pittsburgh? Hell yeah. I get that. It doesn't mean you like all the nonsense that's going on. It doesn't mean you even think about any of that stuff.
But you're watching.
But you're watching. You're watching because absent all the crap is compelling hockey. And that's the dilemma you have here. It's not because of the headshots and the fighting and the goonery that's going on that you've got compelling hockey. It's in spite of that, you are getting compelling hockey. You're getting tons of scoring. Playoffs aren't supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be 2-1, 3-2, batting down the hatches. Lots of scoring. I love that. I'm sitting and watching because of that. The other stuff is nonsensical.
Well, and viewership is not equivalent to approval. I can sit there and watch O.J. Simpson in the white Bronco for hours until they finally... Doesn't mean I'm saying, go O.J. Yeah. I mean, you can watch all kinds of things because it's newsworthy. We see terrible things happen. We watch, you know, whatever. And also, it doesn't beg the question. If there wasn't, you tell me. If in that Philadelphia-Pittsburgh series, if Philadelphia was up 3-0,
none,
kicking their ass like they've been kicking their ass... And there had been no fighting and no major. You think they'd be way down in viewers?
No. But at the core, I mean, you came back from a 3-0 deficit. You're scoring 20 goals in the first 3 games. I mean, Philadelphia scored 20 goals in 3 games. Isn't that right?
I know. It's like the mid 80s all over again.
Giddy up! I love that. Like that part of the game. I'm with you on that, guys. You know. Wide
speed,
open
the
speed
of the game. Oh yeah,
the skill set of the players out there. It's just the other crap in between.
Yeah,
that we're trying to focus on. You know, and here's look, not to kick him when he's down.
Who are we kicking?
Well, here's Brian Burke. Couldn't keep his yap shut. You know, if you're going to open your yap, you're going to get criticized. Here's Burke. This is like people complaining about the rain at Woodstock. Yes, there was lots of mud, but it was the greatest music gathering in history. Okay, Brian, too deep for me. He goes on to say, I hope we continue to nail the people who are crossing the line, but this is a small number of incidents, and it's unfortunate that non-hockey media is focusing on that.
I guess, is that me and you were non-hockey media?
I guess so. In other words, non-hockey media would be anybody who doesn't agree with Brian Burke? Is that a non-hockey guy?
I mean, Don Cherry says only certain people in the media, they're the only ones who don't like this. Everybody else loves it, even though coaches, teams, players, everybody's complaining about it. So, and now Brian appears to have found a subset of media, yeah. which is
the non-hockey media.
And I don't know who that is.
I suggest to Brian that the non-hockey media isn't paying any attention to this hockey, good, bad, or indifferent. That's why they're doing. They're busy doing something else. That's why they're the non-hockey media.
That's right. Brian believes in this stuff. He really does, and at least he's honest and open and consistent about it. He believes in this. He thinks this is great. So I think the question is, where do you draw the line? And from all I'm seeing, you're reading more and more interviews from players, teams, everybody's even they. It's not even that they disagree. It's they have no idea where the line is.
Yeah. We'll come back to this topic because I think it is clearly the topic du jour, has been for the last couple of days and continues to be every day. It's like piling on. You just check off, okay, here's another one last night, to add to the one the night before, to add to the one the night before that. And I have no doubt that chaos will continue while the commissioner, Mr. Nero, continues to fiddle. Mike Sunnix of the Phoenix Business Journal, when Primetime continues on the Fan and Sportsnet.
Talking Tonight with Rick Netriss. Tonight at 11. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Minutes past the hour, McCallum Cox on a radio program. Josh Cassidy, Canadian Paralympic athlete and winner of the Boston Marathon, will join us in a few minutes. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night, Brent Sutter, new head coach of the Canadian men's team at the World Championships. Well, you'd have to be new. It's a different one every year. And the former sheriff of the NHL, Coley Campbell, all coming up.
Now, why are we bothering poor Mike Sunnix again?
Because he's there.
Why? He didn't do anything. Are you gonna ask him about how excited people are in Phoenix?
If
about
we
the
don't
coyotes?
Call him, no one will. And we feel he's part of the family now.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point he's gonna demand a retainer of some kind.
Bite your tongue. Here's Mike Sunnix of the Phoenix Business Journal. Hello, Michael.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well. So here's the latest. The deputy. Well, not that late. About 3 weeks ago, Daly is on this program and gives us the April 15th date. Like that's the drop dead date. If we don't have a deal done by April 15th, we probably can't get a deal done. Blah blah blah.
What's the date today?
18th. So we're 3 days past that, and yet here's the story. Could be a deal. Could be a deal cooking here. Hang on a second. Don't go anywhere.
They haven't leased the Mayflower trucks yet. They're there. I've been driving by to see if they're there, but they're not there yet. So.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to pull the rug out from your team while they're in the midst of winning a playoff series.
People are optimistic down here about the sale. It's
of course they are.
Yeah.
What other choice do they have?
Well, yeah. If there's a sucker out there that's willing to lose $20 million a year, I mean, giddy up. I mean, I just don't know if you found him. Who do you think this one is? Who's this sucker? Who's the latest?
Well, you know, Jameson's the head of the ticket. I don't know where all the money's coming from, but he's the anointed guy right now with the league and the city, and they're trying to work it out with him. I don't have any idea where the cash behind this deal's coming from. I don't think he's sports owner wealthy. He's probably got some money, and he's got a lot of experience running sports teams, but who's writing the checks? I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah, he could take you out to a nice lunch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He could probably, you know.
Yeah.
Buy a nice car.
Yeah. But we're talking about buying a hockey team and then
coughing up an extra 20 every year.
Yeah, like
I'm sure the NHL, his friends at the NHL, have maybe helped on the line up some folks for
I'm
him.
Sure, the league,
the folks to talk to.
I'm sure the league would be happy to give it to him at fire sale prices and kind of, you know, don't you worry, prop it up. We'll throw a few bucks in every year if you lose.
Hasn't the mayor, the esteemed mayor of Glendale?
Well, she bailed.
No, she's not bailed. She's going to bail. She just isn't there yet.
She's still there.
She said, if there's a deal, I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, I think they've closed the circle of trust a little bit to keep information from getting to the Goldwater Institute, maybe out to the media, and to keep the scrutiny a little less. So I think maybe less people down here at the city and other places are in the loop. I think they're still briefing the city manager down here, Ed Beasley. But I think that's some of the frustration from the mayor is, you know, they've always wanted to try to line everything up and get it, have all the ducks in a row and get a deal done and not go through what they went through with Whole Sizer.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Is the city of Glendale not in deep financial do?
Yeah, they have some financial issues, some budget issues, and this is starting to the money they've given to the Coyotes is starting to pop up as part of that. So I think you're seeing some concerns there. They rolled the dice on a lot of development projects, obviously this arena and the shopping center next to it, and some of them didn't quite pan out how they had hoped, including a spring training park for the White Sox,
right,
and Dodgers. A lot of that hasn't turned out. Some of that's been the economy. Some of that's been some other factors. So, yeah, there is some financial pressure on the city.
Did the city not request at the National Hockey League either return or loan back $20 million that they had placed in escrow as part of the deal to keep the Coyotes in Glendale?
I think the city would like to see some of that money come back, like you said. I think they'd like to see that, and I think that's what you're going to see is kind of one of the big hurdles to pass, how that second $25 million is dealt with and what kind of arena management fee is given to the new owner, if it's Mr. Jameson or somebody else. Those are probably the two things the city's going to be challenged on the most in terms of getting a deal done.
But they don't see, Mike, this is what I'm getting at is that if we've been, this is 3 years we're into this.
Yep.
We've seen guys come forward. We've seen guys kick the tires. We've seen illegitimate groups who had no do-re-mi. And we've seen guys who have lots of do-re-mi and they've taken a look and they kicked the tires and they said, I ain't buying this because this is a lemon. And now we have somebody else out of the blue comes in who doesn't even seem to have the wherewithal, and he's kicking the tires at a time when the deal doesn't even look nearly as good as it did a year ago, forget 3 years ago, and suddenly this guy is going to save the Phoenix Coyotes? It just, I sit here and I hope for the sake of the people in Glendale, I suppose it does, except I don't see how. Do you?
I guess they look at Jameson as, you know, this guy that's obviously, you guys know his background, you know, he's the Sharks and some of the NBA teams, and you know, he probably knows how to turn on the lights to arena and run a team and just, you know, buy the order the hot dogs, right? So I think there's, you know, he has some advantages there. Obviously, we don't know a lot of details about where the money is coming from, and I think you're right. The thing that's always kind of held up the deal is the fact they lose $20 million a year, and how do you structure a deal, at least in the short term, where you can ease those losses a little bit? And again, you know, I think the argument on keeping the team down here is you subsidize it a little bit, somebody runs everything correctly, they win, and you turn it around a little bit and they become a little more self-sufficient. Obviously there's a lot of skepticism and challenges to that, but that's been the big challenge is trying to figure out a way to help somebody with some short-term money coming out of the team without violating our rules and laws down here.
So I thought I wasn't on. I have a theory. Want to hear my theory? Both of you, and you can
sure.
give me your thoughts.
Apparently we don't have a choice.
Okay, my theory is, and Bob is, the first part everybody thinks, and that is, this is over. It's not happening in Phoenix. But the NHL is living in fear of having to go hat in hand to Pierre-Carl Peladon in Quebec City and say, will you please buy this? And knowing he'll say, sure, I'll give you $5 million for it. And so they desperately have to make it appear as though there's still somebody willing to buy this team.
Correct.
In Phoenix.
Well, that's why
long enough,
that's why they spun
because
the,
you know
the
they're
Seattle
talking
thing.
and that's why they're still talking, you know, they're talking to Peladon on the side just as though as they were talking to the True North guys while the Atlanta Thrashers were still playing. And so they keep this thing going because if they're left having to go to Peladeau, Peladeau is not going to be a friendly guy or an even-handed guy about this. He's going to get it for the lowest price he can. Greg Jameson is a well-known friend of the NHL who sat on the Board of Governors and for whatever amount of money is happy to prop himself up.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And it's very quiet. We can't tell you what's going on and we can't tell you where the money is and we can't tell you all that. But the NHL saying, please make it look because otherwise this Peladeau guy is going to take us to the woodshed.
I agree. Do you think that happens if that's the case? They got to wait a little bit after the playoffs, wouldn't they? I mean,
nope.
No.
Nope.
They can do it the next day.
As soon as we lose game seven to Chicago.
I don't think they'll do it.
It'll be tough to win without Rafi Torres if he can't play for a couple games.
I don't think they'd do it here after the Chicago series, assuming Phoenix loses that. I'm not assuming that at all, but should that be the case? It's not the issue isn't when Phoenix departs, it's when the season ends. Yeah. It's once the Stanley Cup is presented, within days, the announcement will be made. And I believe the format was established last year with the Atlanta move to Winnipeg. The people in Winnipeg were given a heads up many months ahead of time and told, shut up, don't say anything to anybody, just go about your business, but get ready. I have been led to believe, told, informed, whispered to on numerous occasions that Monsieur Peladeau has received that same heads up already.
And he's not saying very much.
And it's not easy for him to not say much.
A lot of folks down here seem to think that if they're going to get a deal done, why not announce it while they're still in the playoffs? I mean, this is when people are actually paying attention to hockey in a market like this. There is some attention. The games are selling out. Media is paying attention. And if you got a deal done, why don't you ride that wave a little bit and you know, sign up some season ticket people.
The governors are not prepared to sink more money into the Phoenix Coyotes. They believe they've sunk more than enough. And the truth is, I believe what Damian said, this Jameson deal is nothing more than a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Gary Bettman telling one of his pals, make it look like you're interested, but don't say too much. Now, could we be wrong? Sure. Have we been wrong on this story yet? No. But we could be wrong this time.
Well, in this one, Mike, are you not in the same situation? There's no way this can be a straight cash purchase. And therefore, you mentioned the Goldwater Institute. Almost no matter how this deal gets done, they're jumping right back in again, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that the Glendale folks are looking at is what kind of arena fee or what kind of money can we put into this deal that won't spark a lawsuit. So I think that is a big consideration, is kind of Goldwater proofing the deal. So I think that's part of it. And then that obviously runs up against the teams losing $20 million. How do you make it work for an ownership group coming in? So I think those are obviously conflicting priorities.
I'm interested. You mentioned $20 million a couple of times. Mm-hmm. What's the basis for that number?
That's just the number we've heard. I think Forbes had $24 million. People have reported $25 million. I think we've seen $20 million a couple places during the bankruptcy proceedings. So, maybe it's a little more.
You want the number that I've heard?
What? Sure.
95 over the last 2 years. That's slightly more than $20 million a year. 95, not including this year.
Well, they do have the lowest attendance in the National Hockey League. Mike, can I ask you this? And I don't know if you know the question, so I know I'm putting you on the spot. They have sold out the first two home games of the playoffs. Any idea at all what the price structure was of those tickets? Any guess?
I think, I want to say for the first round, the lowest ones were $40 for the upper deck. I don't remember
decent.
Lower levels.
You know, it's not great.
Yeah.
But look at, but comparison to, like $6.
Hey, they got people in the building.
They got people in the building, and that's a good sign. But, Michael, we got to go here. We very much enjoyed talking to you. And when the Coyotes leave for Quebec City, would you mind if we called you anyway just to reminisce?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, just to chat.
Such a good sport.
He is a good
Thanks,
guy.
Michael.
I'm going to trip up to Quebec when they go up there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll all go. Well, you'll love it. It's fantastic. Mike Sunnix of the Phoenix Business Journal, one of my favorite cities, Quebec City.
It's a good one.
Can't wait to go.
Well, I noticed you've probably never been there in January.
No, we contemplated going this year.
You decided instead to go in July or August.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Way nicer. Although there was a couple of chilly nights, I could tell you.
It gets
Even in July and August.
Seriously cold. Serious cold.
We'll come back with more. Primetime continues on the Fan Radio Network and Sportsnet.
Blue Jays versus the Rays. Tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Well, before the hour, we're trying to connect with Josh Cassidy, who's in London, England. Is that right? Wow, he got over there fast. When was the Boston Marathon? Just the other day. Well, I guess you didn't go anywhere in the world, I guess. You know, because you finish a race doesn't mean you can't jump on an airplane and go to London, England, huh? Well, you got to turn your mic on.
It doesn't take that long.
No. Josh Cassidy, winner of the Boston Marathon, is a Paralympic athlete in record time. I can't even fathom.
Like, marathon?
Yeah, marathon is like just so beyond.
How about down the street? Could you run down the street?
Not so much. maybe to the door if you were on fire. I was going to say if your head was on fire, but there's almost no chance of that happening.
Not flammable.
So. Yeah, from here to there. And I'm not proud of it, but it's true.
Yeah. You're going to fix that. You're going to take control of your life.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So, but I ain't running the Boston Marathon, I don't think. But at least I can assimilate how impossibly difficult that is. It is because I have no experience at being in a wheelchair. And, I mean, it's a three-wheeled, is it called a bike? Do you know what it's called, actually?
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. And that, it's arms. I mean, legs and, you know, you still have the problem of going a lengthy distance. So we're showing it for those of you on television. I mean, going up hills, can you imagine going up hills in that thing? And then the other dilemma is when you're going downhill, you're going so fast. He said he goes up to 70 miles an hour in that thing.
Oy.
That'd scare the hell out of you, wouldn't it?
I don't see any brakes.
I mean, I don't know enough about it. It's just, I just find this to be an extraordinary achievement. We're having some difficulty getting a hold of John. If we don't today, well, you know what? We've only got 3 minutes here. Let's call Josh tomorrow. We want to talk to him. We want to have him on. We want to acknowledge his achievement, and we don't want to give him the short shift. So we tried to get a hold of him, and we're having some difficulty connecting with London. I think they're testing the telephone lines in anticipation of the Olympics.
I was going to say that they may not have any phone service for the Olympic Games.
Well, based on today, it looks bleak.
You're still not going? You're still not going to the Olympics?
No.
No?
Are you going?
No.
You're not. See, I'm not going because I don't want to. You're not going because no one wants you to.
Actually, that's not true.
Those are two entirely different things.
I'm completely against going.
Why are you?
It's number two on my list of events I do not want to go to over the coming year. You know what number one is?
No.
Oh, the Winter Classic in Detroit next year?
Oh, okay. Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to spend New Year's Eve in Detroit. And then...
Oh, wait. You could spend it in Windsor and then saunter across
I'm gonna
the
I'm
going
to go to Ann Arbor and watch a game in a football stadium.
With 100,000 lunatics.
As you would say, giddy up.
Giddy up to
I'm
that.
Doing that. Yeah. Can I give you $50 instead? Not a chance.
Now, suppose they tell you you have to go.
Can't. You wouldn't believe how fast I can pull a groin. I'm in a lot of pain.
And you feel the same way about the Olympics? Did you feel that way about Vancouver? Didn't want to go?
Yeah, no. The Winter Olympics, I'm okay with. Summer Olympics, I have no idea.
Oh, just in general.
And I will tell you, and this is serious, no joking, because you know of our loss of Randy Starkman
a couple of
days ago, and he is our, at the Toronto Star, our pivotal point man on the Olympic things.
Right.
So we face a real problem, and they're going to have to figure out a way to solve that. But if they said to me, we need you to help out on this, then sure, I'd do it.
Yeah.
But it's not my thing. And, boy, I brought that conversation down quickly, but.
Well, we haven't had an opportunity to.
No, we haven't.
And, look, I confess that I did not know Randy well at all. We had met, we had talked on the phone on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. But we didn't operate in the same sphere, and as many people in this business don't. We don't all know each other.
No.
But I always had tremendous respect for his commitment, specifically to amateur sport.
Mm-hmm.
A commitment that wasn't always rewarded by a level of interest.
No. I will say this one thing, too, and this struck me. I said this to Blair yesterday off
air. 1 minute.
Well, here's the really, I mean, the tributes have been pouring in for Randy over the last 2 days. And I know that doesn't ease the pain for his family, but it does acknowledge the significance of his life's work. And one of the really interesting things is at a time when people swear up and down that newspapers are dying, that's all Randy was. He was a newspaper man.
Yeah.
He didn't do radio, television, you know, he was a newspaper guy. And for that, he's being heralded as one of the really top guys of the last, well, a long time. And for, as a newspaper man myself, I think that's a tremendous thing.
Well said. Again, we will invite Josh Cassidy to join us again tomorrow. We apologize for those of you who are anticipating him coming on.
Maybe he'll come on with Gary Bettman.
Well, Gary Bettman has 1 hour and 6 minutes to accept my invitation. Then he goes back into the book.
Oh, no.
1 hour, 6 minutes. But there's more to come, with or without him, on Primetime.